And that was a track by Meher Zain. And now for our next segment, we turn our attention to the environment and our relationship to the Earth. In the past few years, concerns about the deterioration of our planet and its effects on humanity have caused us to become increasingly aware of our carbon footprint. What do Muslims have to say in this discussion, and what are they doing about it? Here to tell us, we have on the phone Muzammil Hussain, chair and founder of the UK-based ecological and community activism group Wisdom in Nature. Assalamu alaikum, Muzammil, and welcome to Radio Tahrir.
Wa alaikum assalam, I'm pleased to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, Muzammil, your group called Wisdom in Nature, it was formerly known as the London Islamic Network for the Environment, correct?
That's correct.
And on your website, you describe Wisdom in Nature, which I will refer to as WIN from now on, as a contemplative ecological and community activism group. So what exactly does that mean?
Okay, yeah. So we made a name change, as you mentioned, from London Islamic Network for the Environment. What we're quite conscious of is the extent and whether we look at the framework within how we work. Well known within activism, within campaign groups, is the reality that people can face through constantly trying to change the world, can through that face burnout. And so whilst we're working towards a more sustainable world, is the way we're working towards it sustainable for us? So that's one aspect. Another aspect is, are we looking at the way we're campaigning, the way we're doing things, from within the normal paradigm, the mainstream paradigm, or are we stepping outside of that and reflecting more on the process by which we are making decisions and moving forward with our work? So essentially, the phrase that you read out, contemplative, ecological, and community activist group, that tries to capture those qualities, as well as also the reality that the environment isn't separate from other areas of life, that it can't be a competing issue. And this was mirrored through the prophets, who worked in a way that was unifying, that when they, for instance, negotiated with regards to one area, with regards to one issue, that they did so, for instance, with respect to human beings, to gender, to the less privileged. So the environment needs to ultimately, if we're following the wisdom of the prophets, needs to be integrated into the wider reality of life.
So could you tell us how, since you are the chair and the founder, how did this group get started?
Okay, so it started in early 2004, and for a few years before that, albeit at a slow pace, there was some activity in terms of raising awareness on the environment within the Muslim community in the UK. Myself and at least one or two other people would occasionally give a talk. We would be invited, for instance, to give a talk on something ecological from an Islamic perspective. My pet subject at the time was genetically modified food. Coming out of my realizing that GM food was being imported into the UK from America and unlabeled. So we would be getting, for instance, soya or tomato puree. That the tomato puree was actually labeled, in fact, but some of the other food wasn't actually labeled, and there was no legal obligation to do so. So that's what got me interested in the environment to begin with, and I felt that the power that I had in terms of my social groups was in the Muslim community. There was already Greenpeace and other organizations that were working in the mainstream. And what we were discovering, and I was noticing, was that although people were in agreement, they were acknowledging that GM foods and the environment in general was an important issue, people were isolated in terms of, let's say, there was someone who thought, hey, you know, I think this is important. Mm-hmm. But they weren't really aware that there were other Muslims who also felt the same.
Right.
And so that connected with my, at the time, moving to Brighton in the UK, which is on the south coast, lovely place by the sea, getting involved with trade justice and a little bit in the anti-war movement there, and developing an awareness of local group activism. the two kind of met, my passion on the environment and activism in Brighton. And that's what led to the starting of the UK's first local Islamic ecological group.
So when you started this organization, did you find that Muslims were coming out of the woodworks to join your cause, or did you have to seek them out, encourage people to come and persuade them? What was the response like?
Yeah, there were Muslims that were coming out, and initially there was quite a bit of excitement, even though the numbers that attended our meetings were quite small. If we did a meeting, for instance, with an established organization, who, for instance, did weekly event, the turnout would be quite big because it was people who were aligned in a way, however loosely, to the momentum of the bigger organization. We were a very small organization. But in terms of our individual events, the turnouts were generally quite small. But there were people coming forward. I think one of the real challenges at the time was having people who acknowledged the reality that working in a group and working on an issue requires consistent effort and teamwork and patience. And I think we might have had people come, but many of the people who were initially coming perhaps wanted results quite quickly, and that wasn't going to really happen. So we had, I would say, quite a fast turnover to begin with, but gradually the odd person would stay with the group, and we began to develop a bit of a core, and through that deepened and strengthened our ethos, and were able to complete some good projects during that time.
Okay, great. Now, Muzamili, on your website for Wisdom in Nature, I noticed that it makes an effort to make very transparent how your organization is put together and the relationships between the founders and the organizers and the members. And I got the sense that it's a very integral part of who this organization is. So could you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. What was really great when the group began to coalesce with a few core people coming in was that what we shared was an awareness that we don't always get the change we want. I personally was to some extent influenced by the reading of Gandhi. Gandhi says, be the change you want to see in the world. And I believe that that's embodied very much by faith traditions in terms of being embodied by prophets and the sages in human history. And we may not get the change we want, but the way we try to get the change is something that will remain. So the process of how we try to do something is something that ripples out into the wider reality, even though we may or may not get what we ultimately aim for. So we were very aware of this, and it became very key in how we were working that, okay, let's live in the moment. Let's bring in the values that we want to see in the world out there. Let's bring that into how the group actually works. How are we making decisions? Are the voices, are the decisions and the points being made in the group, are they being dominated by the louder voices? Or do we have mechanisms to include the quieter voices as well? So we began to look into this more, and it became an integral part of how we worked, how the ecology in terms of the group itself. So
I think that's a beautiful parallel process, and I think a lot of organizations would benefit from examining their processes and how to become more aware of it as well. Now, I wanted to ask you about your projects that your group Wisdom in Nature is currently working on. You have published a brochure called Islam and Climate Change, A Call to Heal, and I have a copy of it here with me. And it's a 13-page booklet with full-color illustrations and an explanation about the concept of the Islamic perspective on climate change and so-called Islamic eco-theology. And you talk about in this brochure the concept of taking care of the planet as human beings, fulfilling the role of Khalifa on Earth. So could you explain that a little bit more?
Sure. So this brochure, which is available on our website as well, talks about a number of concepts, and near the end it talks about Khalifa, which could be translated as a steward, or could be translated as God's representative on this planet. And ultimately, we are perhaps, it's ultimately ourselves that we need to steward, that creation is such that all of creation surrenders to God, according to Islam. Everything submits to God's will, but it's human beings who, because of free will, that we can actually deviate away from that. And all of nature otherwise has that innate tendency to surrender to the divine law and really be a kind of beautiful, harmonious orchestra that plays a beautiful piece of music. And we can be like something that can just play something out of tune,
right,
and corrupt that piece of music, which has consequences in the wider ecology. So it's really about us getting into that beautiful reality, that beautiful order that is the wider outer and inner world that we exist in. But how does that relate to our impact on the environment? How does that relate to our behavior? And so that aspect of the booklet, talking about Khalifa in relation to climate change, talks about that aspect in terms of practical steps, in terms of understanding, for instance, how we can, in terms of, for instance, using renewable, non-polluting energy, in terms of building community, because in today's world, with the surge of individualism, we're becoming not just less connected to nature in terms of the non-human world, but also to each other. And if we can begin to just connect more with each other, sharing our histories, our stories, that perhaps is symbolic of creating a relationship whereby needs can be met, whereby resources can be shared, whereby we can gain a fulfillment that is deeper than seeking something outwardly in the form of material goods. So there's the quality of developing relationship that is, we've highlighted as being quite fundamental to our role as steward of the earth.
So it's a very holistic approach in regards to our relationship with the environment and each other.
Yes. And also another aspect we've brought in is in relation to community again, but there's been community food projects that are on the rise, and how we can get involved with them, for example.
Yes, that was my next question about, I know Wisdom in Nature also has another project which they're currently focusing on, called the Islamic Community Food Project.
Yes, so that really came out of a dream in a way, not a specific dream, but just a sense of connecting to the land and social organizing, because it within activism and within environmentalism, we can also have that disconnect whereby there are people who are campaigning for a change in policies, and then there are the other kinds of projects where people are getting involved on the land. So we wanted to bring the two together, and we developed a relationship with this farm, which is in central London, so it's in the city itself. And it's a small community farm in a highly Bangladeshi area, so a lot of a large Muslim population in that area.
Yes.
And we can use their facilities so that people who want to get involved in the project can work on the land. But it's not just a gardening kind of project. We're including the wider social ecology into that. We want to empower people to be conscious of how, as well as work on the land, how they're then getting together to make decisions to discover how they want to take it forward. And it doesn't have to stay on that site, it could, we've only had one gathering with this project so far. We've got another one scheduled most likely in January.
So again, the focus is...
So people will discover how they want to take it forward.
So again, the focus is also on the process.
Absolutely,
of decision-making,
yes.
And empowering. I think that's beautiful.
So our job is really to create a space within which that can take place.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you how listeners can get more involved with your organization, Wisdom in Nature.
Sure. Well, if they're in the UK or anyone who would like to, if they were to get onto our website, wisdominnature.org.uk, that they can keep updated with events by joining our e-list or Facebook group. And from there will be opportunities to participate and become familiar with how we work, and if anyone wants to then volunteer, then that's a way in to do that. So that's one way. And then, of course, in one's locality, if listeners in their locality want to touch base with something that parallels the kind of work we're doing, then that's something they could look into by tapping into the networks near where they themselves live.
Now, Ms. Emma, we only have about 30 more seconds, and I wanted to get to this question.
Yes.
And you've been in the United States for the past 2 weeks, and you've been spending your time meeting with other environmental activists in the United States. So what are your thoughts on the green movement in the U.S.?
Okay, I was very impressed. I've been in touch with some of the green Muslim movement in the U.S. for a couple of years at least. And although they started later than us, I think what's been going on here is very impressive. There's been, particularly in the Washington, D.C. area, there's been a surge of very thoughtful ecological activism amongst a small number of Muslims over there. And that's inspiring to us as well. It resonates strongly with our approach. And what I really like is that it's not just getting onto the mainstream environmental type method, but trying to discover connecting with spirituality, connecting with locality and identity, a way of working that is unique and relevant to Muslims that are here. And I also had the pleasure of meeting Ibrahim Abdul-Hadim, who wrote the book Green Deen. And I know you were there as well, where we attended a workshop.
Yes, we're actually going to bring him to Radio Tahrir in the future, in the near future.
Yes, and was impressed with how he was articulating the message and bringing in his experience of grassroots organizing into the process as well. So I think, although numbers may be small here, I think the depth is fantastic. Could really be excited if to see more American Muslims coalesce around these seeds that are sprouting.
Great. Thank you so much, Ms. Emma Hussein of Wisdom in Nature, for being with us here on Radio Tahrir. And we wish you the best of luck in the future on your endeavors.
Thank you.